Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 103 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
It's what we're playing.
It is.
Although not at the moment, because we're not actually playing anything, because we're podcasting. It should more accurately be called what we were playing.
Yeah, I've tried to stop you playing Xbox during podcasts, because it just wasn't working.
Really. I haven't touched
much clicking and noises.
I haven't touched my Xbox all day, or my PS3. Yeah, we'll come to that in the what we're playing bit.
This is the what we're playing bit.
It is, isn't it? Yes.
I shall go first, I guess.
Go on, then.
Okay. Let's see, I'll start with Lotro.
Okay.
We had 2 weeks. I can't remember what we did. I'm pretty sure Grand Stairs was involved.
There was an awful lot of Grand Stairs.
I'm just not sure what we're going to do once we got these full sets of armour.
Raiding?
No, we go off to Mirkwood and do, is it Sword Halls, apparently? Which is a three-man one where you can do it in 10 minutes if you aggro all three bosses at once, and then you get these special medallions, which, well, you can save up to buy the next set of equipment, even though we're all right for equipment, to be honest.
Yeah, we are, actually. We don't need Radiant's gear at all.
It's a kind of progression. It's a kind of goal, I suppose.
It's something to do.
Something to do. That's
definitely something to do.
Yes.
It's
something
a progress bar.
We could just go to the pub instead, I think. But a lot of us live in distant places.
It's a bit hard because it involves going to Wales and Kent.
Yeah, at the same time, which is a problem. But we've got reputation bars to fill in. We've got like legendary items to level
up. Skirmish marks to get.
Skirmish marks, yes. I've been working on the skirmishes a bit more, actually. I got my Trouble in Tuckborough title.
Woo!
Yeah, for doing all the side thingies in the Tuckborough skirmish there. I've got all the important things I need to save up skirmish marks for and buy those. I'm just trying to level up my herbalist to become a force for awesome. Because,
pretty much what I'm doing as well.
Yeah, because it just seems like a handy thing to do. I really ought to try some of the other archetypes for the lieutenant. I've not tried any at all, because it just makes more sense. As long as I've got a healer behind me, healing me all the time.
Same here, and I'm a minstrel.
Why would you want any other class?
But when we do,
you are a healer. Yeah,
I just I go into my glowy beat people up hands mode,
yeah,
and beat people up and get healed and get given power.
So minstrels have a certain DPS stance and abilities, and so yeah, why would you not want a
because
healer?
When there's,
I suppose
we tried them as a group,
we
had six herbalists
and you as a primary minstrel healer, and yeah, the healing wasn't the problem, it was doing any kind of damage at all.
No, right? the healing was the problem when that big guy with the big aura turned up.
Oh, the Grim, yes. I don't know what we need to be doing wrong there. We tried a six-man skirmish and we had a go at the end of an evening after we'd been out and about, and
I think we got unlucky.
Well, I don't know. Every time this has happened, whenever we've tried a six-man skirmish, is we do all right until either the Priestess of Flame shows up and sets fire to the entire world and we all die instantly.
Yeah.
Or the Fire Grim turns up and sets fire to the entire world and we all die instantly. I'm guessing it's interrupts. I'm thinking we're just going to have to get in there and interrupt it, otherwise it's going to insta-kill
us
all. I don't know. But the Fiery Grim's basically a big spinning column of fire, and it has an immense, I'm talking, you know, at least 100-foot wide radius aura of massively damaging fire over time. And I don't think it had it when it starts, so I'm guessing it is interrupt.
Yeah.
You have to run in there and kick him in the face before
but
you can charge
there,
it
there's
up.
Also a...
But it kills you so quickly. The
there
party.
Was a raveny thing chasing me in one of them I was doing as well, which had a similar thing.
It does that
which
as well.
Went away after a while, so I think that...
I don't know, but it's just really quite frustrating, because we're doing, well, I think we were like two or three levels below the average group.
Yeah.
We went in there, we thought, oh yeah, we'll do a bit of six-man skirmish, and we're doing fine, having a really good time, enjoying ourselves. It was the Prancing Pony one, where the burning torches are coming in, we're taking those out.
Yeah, the hunter was on torch takedown, it was working perfectly.
We're even dealing with the encounters as they showed up, and then wallop, Fiery Grim, whole party dead instantly.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like such a stupid waste. And I don't know, is it just some stupid, quirky little trick that we haven't got the hang of?
I think
so,
yeah.
Well, bollocks to it, that's what I say.
Okay. At this point, ladies and gentlemen, I should point out the news that somebody, I'm not going to say who, quit smoking this week and is rather on the grumpy side.
Hurting a bit, yeah. So, yes, it's colouring my gaming perceptions of the last week somewhat.
In the past,
Angry Tim.
Tim has been referred to as the Grump.
The Grump, yes.
Did you know that, by the way, or did I just...
No, okay. Thanks for that. That's cheered me up.
That was Jeff.
Fair enough. But, yes, so it just seems so arbitrary, though. You're enjoying yourselves, having a good time, the skirmish is all working as intended, we're rolling along, we're doing all right, it's tricky, but not, you know, but challenging, we're all right, we're on top of it.
And wasn't suddenly, tricky.
Wallop. One monster shows up, uses one ability, kills the entire party. I just think that's, I don't know, broken, overbalanced. I mean, do you have to interrupt it, or the whole party dies and the thing fails and wipes? Is it come down to one button press at the right time?
Sounds
like bad design to me, really.
Have you played MMOs much?
I've played MMOs far too much, frankly. Yes. So I'm starting to get a bit cross about some of the things I've put up with for quite some time. So, yes, we did a lot of... Oh, speaking of being cross a bit about MMOs, we spent last week getting everybody caught up on the group bottleneck in Volume 2.
Yeah.
In Moria. I'm not blaming you at all, specifically.
Yes, you are.
I can't see my glaring. But, we're doing all right. Because they've redone Volume 1, so it's all soloable, and that's all right. You can pick and choose.
No, it's not all right.
You can talk about that in a minute, yeah. You work through it in your own pace, and that's fair enough. You know, they've basically abandoned the idea of it as compelling group gameplay for a good reason, because it's not.
Around Volume 1 of the original, they gave up on it being compelling gameplay.
Volume 1, Book 10 we got to, and there was about 5 more of them, and then we just couldn't do it as a group because it just didn't work.
They kept wanting to put you into single instances, solo instances. Yeah. That's rubbish. Who puts that in there?
I know.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Well, somebody had a rethink on that idea and made it all solo, but they didn't bother doing it to Volume 2 for some reason.
Not yet.
You can get all the way... Yeah, it's a matter of time, isn't it? You can see that coming. Just a flick of a switch in the server code, I'm sure. But at the moment, you can get all the way up to Book 4, Chapter 7, part something or other, which is a required group instance.
Yeah.
And I've been sat there parked. I've done my homework. And
it's homework now, isn't it?
I'm all right. I'm chilled. I'm cool. You know, it's all right. Well, I'll wait for everyone else to catch up. And we've even dedicated a few weeks to helping people get a bit further on. And that's what we did this week. It's Monday.
That's the problem. It's the whole...
There was a lot of everyone standing around while people went off and did
solo
stuff.
I don't think it was fun for anyone.
No.
And...
No.
And we have this
people
thing...
People standing around bored, people who are actively doing the thing, you know, annoyed that they're holding everyone else up.
Yeah. And it's at the point now where people have to play outside of the Monday in order to do these things if we want to do them.
Yeah.
Which do we want to do them at the moment? Are we rushing through content too fast?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's finding more stuff to do, isn't it? But I did, I've done a bit more of the... Where it picks up again in Lothlorien. I did the walk in the woods with Legolas and Gimli.
Did they pull?
They pulled, yes. A lot of orcs.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know why there's so many orcs that deep into Lothlorien, frankly. That made me cross and annoyed. I'm spotting a theme, really, with this, my what I'm playing this week. But, pushed on there a bit more. I think, I can't remember what the next step is now. It's off back into Moria for something or other. Talk to someone at the Chamber of Crossroads, thingy in the room, Bosey, whatever. So basically, we've sort of departed away from the Fellowship and we're going back into Moria on that storyline now.
Yeah.
I think our involvement in the Fellowship's going to be minimal at best from here on in.
The Fellowship doesn't last much longer.
Well, the Fellowship
goes down the river, then all goes a bit tits up.
That's because we've stopped helping them. Stopped doing the heavy lifting. They have to do a bit of travelling on their own without this other Fellowship in the background.
If we'd be following behind, we could have killed the orcs for them. Hit Sean Bean over the head.
Yeah.
And it would have been fine.
It would have all been fine, yeah. We'd have found some eagles and dropped the ring in the volcano by air by now, anyway. But
I was thinking about that, actually. I don't think that the eagles would have worked.
You think the anti-air defences on the mountains are pretty heavy?
Having studied the documentary, the anti-air defences were blown up when the mountain exploded.
Ah, possibly.
So, yeah.
Right, gotcha. I've been doing a bit more of Volume 2... I lose track. The bit in Mirkwood now. I'm working on 3 different sections of Volume 2 at the moment in parallel, which is very confusing. It's probably a bollocks time travel plot.
Is that Volume 2?
There's a section that starts at the Doors of Dur and you go through Moria and do all your Moria stuff, and we're on the Drowned Treasury there. Then it picks up again when you've done the rep grind to get into Lothlorien. There's a bit in there. But also,
Not Book 3?
No, Volume 3 starts over back in Rivendell.
Oh, it does,
There's only one book of that at the moment, and that's just a run around on the old content and say hello to everyone again stuff, which I've not even bothered starting
yet. That sounds so exciting. sounds brilliant, that does. It sounds, sounds like the best thing ever.
See, we were discussing the Lifetime subscription earlier in the week, weren't we? And you were basically mocking me for deciding not to bother getting one. But yeah. I honestly, I'm not sure if I'm going to be playing that thing by Christmas, to be honest.
Well,
not without another expansion, anyway. And when that comes, then I'll think about it again. But I'm running out of it a bit. I'm wondering if I'm getting a bit fed up with the whole thing, or whether it's just that sort of contented. We've done it. We've got to the top. Have we won yet?
You've got no real goal at the moment.
How do we win that game?
You've hit 65.
Have I played an MMO before?
Yeah. You've hit 65.
I've hit 65.
What have you got to know? You can try and get your weapons better.
I refuse to believe I'm superficial enough that it was just the level bar, and that was the only thing I was ever playing it for. Ooh, I must fill in this level bar. Now I've filled in this level bar. I am done. No, surely not.
Although, 65 levels of you being happy... You hit 65, and now you're a bit grumpy, to be fair.
In other news, did I mention I've given up smoking this week? I don't know. I do enjoy the Monday nights, and I like hanging out with the gang, but again, I'm starting to get that sort of, this could be any game at all, really, sort of feel to it all. It just happens that we all started in Lotro that all those months ago.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm feeling, hey, it's a nice enough world. I do like pottering around in there now and then and exploring things and immersing myself in it. What is, yes, a very good adaptation of the Ring lore, you know, but ultimately it could be any old game. It's the people I'm hanging out with rather than the setting I want to particularly engage with.
The big concern I have is, it's the hanging out together, but we're rapidly running out of stuff to do.
We're getting very near the end of what's there. Yeah. Remember, we started a year behind. We started Shadows of Angmar around about the time they launched Mines of Moria.
And effectively, we've only been playing one day a week.
We played one night a week for, 4 hours or so?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of extracurricular here and there on an individual basis, but we have now pretty much caught up. And yes, there's this massive raid progression we can hook on to and start trying to do properly.
I think I can safely say that the level of interest to raiding in the group is zero.
I don't want to become a hardcore raider, no, and I think I would rather just sort of dig my brains out with this ear microphone, but I might do that now, actually. No.
Please don't.
Wait till the end of the show.
I need that microphone. Yeah.
But no, sort of repeat. I mean, it's stupid and very hypocritical, because what do we do every week since we log on?
We do the Grand Stairs.
We do the Grand Stairs for tokens. Why?
So we get our Radiance gear.
So we can get our Radiance gear. Why?
So we
are eligible for the next raid in the chain.
It's something to do.
As long as we can find another six people.
Because it's something to do, because we got driven off the books by the books being so bollocks.
I'm pulling at threads here, and I can just see the whole lifestyle and hobby unravelling quite rapidly.
The books literally drove us off them because of the whole single-play stuff all the way.
No, we didn't make it. And if they hadn't changed it so that there were these moments of inspired greatness thing, we probably wouldn't. None of us would have seen the end of Volume 1 at all.
And now...
I doubt we're alone in that.
And after that, we just moved to, let's level up. Let's try and do the six-man instances for the right level appropriate stuff.
I do enjoy the instances for their own sake and don't particularly care about the tokens or the greater scheme of it all.
But we're running the Grand Stair again and again and again and again.
Be fair, the Radiance gear does have some fairly good decent basic stats as well, but I can't see us wanting to go much beyond. I mean, I've not seen a single quest reward in Mirkwood up to 65 that's better than the Radiance gear that we've been you know, even without the Radiance stat, it's still decent gear. But ultimately, there's a certain why are we doing this starting to sort of creep into my consciousness.
While we had levels to do, it wasn't a question because there was always stuff to do.
It was an upward journey that we took together, yeah.
Yeah, but now maybe, three of us are on the level cap?
365s, 362s.
And 62s and... Or 63s, depending
on
And yeah, I'm going to...
There won't be many more weeks for the rest of your 65.
No. And then, what do? Do we create alts and try again?
Start again.
Do we go over to WoW? Do we...
Well, I'm wondering, is it another game? Are we off? Can we put a tick in this box yet?
Because I'm not entirely sure that I want to go down any other routes with MMOs.
We did sort of hoodwink you into being an MMO in the first place with this one, didn't we? You don't play any other MMOs at present.
Well, sort of play Eve.
Sort of play
Eve. I log into Eve to skill train. But
there's an element of coercion there. But so you in particular wouldn't be that keen on now we're off to World of Warcraft. Let's start level ones. Off we go.
I'm really done with traditional MMOs.
It's starting to I mean, Lord of the Rings is about the only traditional MMO I currently play.
Yeah,
in that sense, with the level bar.
The only redeeming feature Lord of the Rings has is it's Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, yeah. But it's a certain nostalgia that links with the books.
There was nothing in WoW that wants to draw me in. I don't give a toss at all about the backstory.
I think I'd have a certain amount of nostalgia for WoW. I did my 60 there. I did a tour back in the day. But, you know, it'd be interesting, yeah, especially with this Cataclysm thing coming along that's going to reshape everything, apparently. It might be interesting to see, but I don't know. Do I want to launch into another 60 level, 80 level, whatever it is now, commitment? Be another year of weekly groups, and I like the groups and I like the people, but
I'm much more,
could it be anywhere?
I'm much more excited and willing to do that with sort of playing console games once a week, because we'll switch games every couple of weeks and it's different and you've still got the same chatty atmosphere,
smaller number of people included in it all, but it depends on the game, I
suppose. Burnout's 8 people. Horde mode in Gears 2 is 5 people, and the co-op in all every game now is 4 people.
Yeah,
it seems. So it depends on how many people you got.
Yeah,
and just subtly hinting that people don't want to buy consoles.
but even then, in MMOs, most party sizes are capped at 6.
Yeah,
and that's a pain in the arse, and always has been. So we managed to get around that. Yeah, I wonder. Anyway, so yeah, Lotro's still going.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about your Lotro?
Yeah, I've actually been playing quite a lot at the moment, because I decided to start with, I needed to get 2,600 skirmish marks in order to get my last legendary item to get, unlock my legendary trait.
The loot that normally drops from an impossible to get to person. Oh, we did Khan Dam, didn't we?
Yeah, we did Khan Dam.
We'll talk about that. That was quite fun.
But we finally took out the...
We took out the stupid squid, Helgsham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we got the
collapsing pillars. We nearly lost a couple of people on the wobbling pillars. Run for it! Yeah.
Yeah.
But bear in mind, we were 15 levels over what we were supposed to be for that place.
But we do have a barrel of wiggling tentacles in the kinship house now.
I do like the trophy you get for him, yeah.
That's pretty
amazing. Just a barrel with this giant tentacle that twitches now and then. Fantastic. We managed to get through up into the top half of there and start running around in that area and find various drops for various class item quests and such like. I think Ed managed to find one of his things.
Ed got one, I got one.
Saved himself about 1,500 skirmish marks.
Yeah.
Did it properly. Rampaged around the place, got quite a few bosses in. I think we were only 2 or 3 bosses away from the very last. And that one is Moradrith, who was like in charge of Angmar. So, God knows what that very last
That's what else
like.
We did.
Yeah?
We went to the other side of Mirkwood.
We did. Went to Dol Guldur.
Yeah.
No, we've been there already, haven't we?
Yeah,
I'm sure we talked about it on a previous show.
We wondered, oh, did we?
Yeah.
We might have been to that
It's all blending together.
It is.
So, you've been doing volume one, though?
Well, no, I got my skirmish marks, 2,600 in one day.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I had about 1,000 to start with.
Ridiculous. Did you trigger any of the 500s for killing 50 lieutenant? No, God, that's all hard work then. Oh,
it was. It was fun.
You can't overdo
such things. I didn't mind it because I was refining my method for doing these. I got that. Yay, I've got this ability which I'm never going to use. Yay. But I freed up a quest slot.
That's the important thing.
And then I spent... I mapped all of the... routes of the travel goats in Moria.
So you're more or less filling in the corners yourself, even though you've not quite reached the top level.
Yeah, it's make busy work. And then I went back and did book one.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
And again, how many levels over what you should be?
Oh.
Book one. Book one stops at 50 usually.
40, 50, yeah.
Yeah, so you're about
25.
12 levels over.
25 over where I am at most. I think I'm meant to be about 40 for these. Or 50 maybe.
Yeah.
No, actually, it must be 40 because 50, yeah.
Anyway.
Forageal.
Oh, Forageal. Hey,
yeah.
There we go.
The book I needed to do was Forageal.
Yeah.
I remember now why I'd given up. To start with, got there. No one told me about the stupid bug.
Oh, the bug, yes. Yes. If anyone from Turbine is listening, it's still, despite us saying all these cruel things about your game so far this show. You go in by land, you sort of gallop along through the ice caverns, and you go down into this tunnel section. And when you're going down there, it goes all very dark and gloomy and very atmospheric. And then when you come out of there, it doesn't ever go ungloomy again.
I noticed that.
So it creates the impression in most visitors to Forageal that the whole zone is basically a 5-foot radius drawn area that's just full of fog and the occasional angry snow leopard that you couldn't see because you couldn't see more than 5 foot ahead of you.
That was fun.
Yeah, really depressing. Just constant grey screen.
When I logged in today, it was clear skies.
Yeah, exactly. If you log off and then log back on again, once you're past that tunnel area, you'll see the zone properly. And yeah, it does occasionally bring the weather down, but only very minor bursts of it.
So I've been running the quest in there. Now, the thing about that is, there are two major problems. One is the fact that half of the book sends you ping pong style between NPCs, basically at the top of the map on either side of a lake. Now, the horse route to get there doesn't unlock because you need to do something to enable to get the horse to the guy you're going to.
Yeah.
And so you have to take the horse to the place down the south and go up north manually.
Yeah.
And there's no swift travel without having done whatever.
It does. Well, it unlocks that after you've done it, all the travelling back and forth and most of and the work.
Yeah. It's literally, go here. Someone says, go talk to them. So you go back to the other guy, And somewhere along the way, Turbine obviously mistook travel with content. Because it really...
Well, that's what
utterly takes the piss with the whole, yes, we think this is fun gameplay. No, you don't. You're just filling it out to say that you've got X hours of gameplay in your free download.
A typical book will consist of about 15 chapters, and perhaps three of those will contain group-based content. The rest of it's travelling to and fro or kill 10 rats.
Yeah.
And it does get a bit wearying.
Oh, and then I started doing the book after. We're great.
Book 14.
The guy sends you off to do three tasks across the world.
Oh, brilliant.
Then you come back and he says, oh no, that was just a diversion. I wanted to keep you busy. Yes, we know.
It all got very meta when I went through there because I thought, hang on, this guy in game is giving me make busy work.
Yeah.
What?
I got angry.
I think I was quite shouty there as well.
And then you get these stupid session play things where you're meant to be doing...
I like the session play. The session play is all right. I mean, what I'd love to see is much shorter streamlined books of perhaps 6 chapters, 8 chapters, and where each one is an absolute doozy of an episode of content.
If you're lucky, you get one per book.
I don't mind going to the place to do the epic thing and then coming back again, but going like backwards and forwards 5 or 6 times, then only to be allowed in the epic thing.
Yeah.
It just seems a waste.
It's there to boost up the number of hours you take.
Stretch it out.
And I don't like it. And if Turbine don't fix it, I'm going to get a very...
Shorter books and more interesting chapters. That's what we want.
I hate to say it, but it's like the book content people don't understand what makes a fun game.
Well, I don't know. Are they pandering too much to literary aspirations? Are they trying to make it like narrative?
Not with the quality of writing in there, no.
Fair enough.
It's lousy. And if anyone says thou ever again in a computer game, I'm smacking someone.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So shall I talk about Guild Wars a bit then?
Yeah, go on.
All right.
I haven't given up smoking, even I'm depressed.
My I don't smoke this way. Is contagious.
Why don't you just start smoking? Would that solve anything?
I don't know. I'm considering going back to myself, but... we had 20 people show up for PvE week in Guild Wars. We had three groups on the go.
How is your cult of personality going?
I don't understand what happened there. It's just a sudden conjunction or something. We had to have three different trips on the go there. I think I was off in Xingjie, the starter area for factions. I think Geddon's joined us there off of Twitter, and he's started a new character in factions, which is the sort of feudal Japan-style themed island. I always like that as a starter area. It's very tranquil and easy, and I rolled up a new elementalist just to have a go at. I quite like elementalists, actually. It is basically just about setting fire to everything in an AoE fashion over and over and over again. I could get used to that. I haven't really played elementalists much, to be honest, but, it's my ongoing sort of goal to try and learn how each of the classes all work, that sort of thing. And then PvP week, that was pretty much a standard PvP conventional affair there. It took quite a long match there. We had played a couple, I think. I can't remember what went on, really. I think I was just playing a very straight Mesmer domination build with Visions of Regret, Backfire and Empathy, that kind of thing. Just hexing the hell out of everyone and seeing how they did. We got beaten several times.
Huzzah.
Yeah.
I'll be disappointed if it went any other way.
I'm starting to think that PvP is not something you can learn to like. It's something you're either born liking or not, to be honest.
I think that's true.
But yeah, I like the participation of it all. It's good to see everyone having a good time, throwing themselves into it, learning stuff on the way, hopefully. But I don't know.
Well, that's a game which much like Lotro, but even worse, hasn't had meaningful content in a long time.
It's a very static thing. Yes, they're doing all sorts of Shining Blade things and this, that, and the other. And look, you can go to a place and watch a scripted NPC trial. Woo! You know, I'm not really not buying into this whole Guild Wars 2 lead-up thing, Warring Kryta, whatever they're calling it at the moment. It just... And it seems really ungrateful as well, because I'm always bitching about how there's nothing new coming to Guild Wars. But this is just fluff. It really does seem like marketing gimmickery. It, you know, this isn't a whole new campaign. This isn't, you know, new classes and new skills and new things going in to make the thing more a richer experience. It's just little drop-in extras and nods to the future, I think.
You must have done all the content in there now. I think I've... more than a couple of times.
Very leading question. I do feel like I've really played that game to death. And I have been playing it routinely. It's probably one of my most consistent MMOs for the last 3 years. I've been in there at least once a week, every week, for the last God knows how long, with only a few holidays, so perhaps I do need a break.
I don't think it's healthy playing any game for that long.
Well, yeah. I'm just sort of getting this vibe. I don't know if it's... I could just be that I'm my psychological state's all over the place because I haven't had any nicotine in a week, but I think this is just perhaps underlying something a bit more serious, and I think it's going to have to be all changed soon, really, with the MMOs. I don't know. I need to mix things up, to try put some stuff down, pick some other stuff up, maybe even play less and do other stuff. I don't know. Perhaps I'm in a rut. Perhaps I am. I don't know. It's just sort of, yeah. Perhaps a little less contentment with it all. Let's put it this way. If I was soloing all these titles, I'd have stopped a long time ago on all of them.
Mm. Yeah, it's definitely
it's the
people.
Companionship and the great gang of mates that I'm hanging out with in all of these titles that are keeping me going. But is keeping it going the thing I really want to do with these games that I've been playing over and over for quite a long time? I don't know. And Guild Wars, I think, possibly is starting to outstay its welcome somewhat.
Has it lost its sheen?
Well, I've been playing it a very long time.
Have you worn it through to the metal?
It hasn't changed significantly in the last 2 or 3 years. So, since the Eye of the North went in, basically. I don't know how old that one is. How long? At least 2 years, probably longer.
Is this an MMO thing, or is this just the games you're playing?
I don't know. I mean, I wonder if I mean, a sort of receptive frame of mind where I'd want to launch into some brand new session of, you know, hooray, two years of City of Heroes or Champions Online or Star Trek Online or whatever. You know, I don't know if I want to sort of embark on, you know, just put one down, pick one other one up and go for 2 years of something entirely different. Hey, it's time for EverQuest 2, you know, another 2 years later. I don't know. Perhaps I just need a bit of a break from everything. Perhaps I need to become a more of a console gamer for a bit.
I won't say
recharge
anything.
My batteries somewhat. Let's see. I've been playing Eve.
The little
Wednesday fleet's growing in there. We're getting people interested in coming along, and I really don't know what to do. I've already worked out that I'm the worst FC ever. I think I ended up costing Dr. Deus one of his Tech 2 cruisers there through a colossally bad amount of dithering and
attitude. You mean, isn't he one of the more knowledgeable PvP people
in
game? He is,
but he wasn't in charge of that particular...
Is he going to make that mistake again?
Well, he seems to like hanging out with us, so I don't know. But I just don't think I'm up to PvP FCing at all. I don't like to give people orders. I don't have a clear plan. I've not prepared for any eventuality. I just bumble along, and that's all right if it's just me. But here I am dragging like 8 people with me into certain death and destruction, and I feel that that's probably not a great way to go.
I like to feel
game.
That it's like in World War II when you get a new lieutenant flown straight out of and it turns out
this
to be the guy from
command.
Friends.
Yeah.
And he gets you all killed till they get... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't sort of back off from this kind of thing, there's bound to be mutiny very quickly soon, I'm sure. But, but what else do you do?
That's the problem
PvP
with
PvP or bust, really, isn't it?
Really? Eve has this massive problem where there's no content.
We're going to get so many complaints.
You're either being productive in Eve...
Well, this is it. You can work and you can play in Eve, and there's lots of work to do in Eve, and some of that may even require the participation of more than one player at once.
It's the problem I have with it as well. I could be doing Agent 4s, but I find them remarkably easy. I could drop down and do them in a battle cruiser.
Well, that's what we did the other week. We we're doing Agent 3 missions in Tech 1 frigates. Just for the hell of it. The, you know, singularly inefficient way of going about making profit or money or progress in EVE. You know, I mean, we had about 8 of us all in Rifters and Punishers and this, that and the other. And yeah, it was ridiculously easy because whoever goes in first kites the bejesus out of these battle cruisers and everyone else just runs in and pew-pews. We're probably next week going to try Agent 4 missions in Tech 1 frigates just to see if we can, you know, just try and push the envelope of inefficiency as far as we can, you know. Odds are we probably just won't have enough DPS to kill a battleship, but we're probably not going to be in any real danger because these missions are pretty easy because of the limited AI. I don't know. But then, yeah, from here on in, there be PvP, and I'm just not sure. I just think I'm too much of a care bear, both on a personal level and as any kind of leader.
Well,
I just don't think I can hack it.
Well, I don't think
it's
anything.
Fine,
I don't think it's got anything.
You're not
going to
see any massively angry blog posts from me about it. That's,
I don't think it's
Eve is what Eve is, but
it's got nothing to do with you don't think you can hack it. You just don't want to.
Well, perhaps I don't.
Do you want to do it?
There's nobody I want to kill. No.
Do you want to become a hardcore PvPer in that game?
Not really. No. Doesn't really appeal.
Yeah, that's the problem it has.
It's a, you know, it's a fantastic reading about these things, yeah. You know, but I don't really want to do it myself.
Yeah, that's my problem. I'm at a point where my corpse got 0.0 space, it's got some low sec space, and it's got some high sec space. And if I log in and play, I could go for the 0.0, I could do some ratting, I could defend the systems, but don't really want to just do that.
Yeah.
Or I could stay in Empire, I could be doing part of the industry side, but yeah, that's a bit boring. I could do missioning, but again, I've done those before, and I can't.
Well, it sounds like all the PvE content is boring and all the PvP content is too exciting.
I just don't have any inclination of doing PvP in there.
Yeah, fair enough.
It just doesn't attract me.
Yeah, yeah. It's like one of the chaps said during the week, it's not something that you should force. You want to do it or you don't. No, I don't, to be honest. So I'm wondering about EVE.
Yeah, I'm wondering about
I'll stick
about
around
EVE.
For Tyrannis because I want to see what that's like anyway.
Two weeks.
I like pottering around with new mechanics and just seeing interesting new things.
The only thing
beyond,
I'm looking forward to in EVE is Dust.
Two. Well, perhaps, yeah.
Because Dust, I think, is what I want.
Sounds interesting. Bit of first-person shooter action. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So I'm sort of considering my future in EVE.
Okay.
As well as Guild Wars and Lord of the Rings Online. What else do I play? DDO.
Yeah.
No, I haven't really got much bad to say about DDO. I'm quite enjoying that. That works for me. That's a very casual drop in for a few hours, charge around with a bow, shoot a load of boxes, get an, you know, aggro a load of stuff before people are ready, giggle a lot, and then go away and yeah, log out. You know, there's some good people in there. We usually have two groups on the go. There's the chaps from DDO Cocktail Hour, Lesser and Samius there. They tend to come along and supervise and shepherd us, and Kadesnik as well. He's an expert and likes to help out. And it's quite good. It's like having a guide, you know. These people know the game well. They know the best parts of it, and they know which parts and perhaps not as great. We did a fantastic mission in the graveyard. I think if you've got Delera's tomb adventure pack, it's part of that. It's a sort of optional side thing. Very tall, very very tall towery thing with a lich in it, and we had to work our way up the levels and deal with that as we went along. We're also working in the Manectaran Desert. That was the Demon's Sands adventure pack we talked about before. The Wizard King's tomb, huge place, huge, very rambling, lots of traps, lots of shooty monsters, all that good stuff. Yeah, I mean, the actual texture, individual day-to-day fighting in there is very similar across much of the dungeons. There are some good, interesting design in places there, some quite unique dungeons with interesting stories, but on the whole, it's quite difficult to take away particular memorable anecdotes from there because it's all just happening so fast. So, you know, you sort of crash through these various dungeons. The game itself is designed to be played at a very high pace. It is almost console-like in texture, yes.
Ooh.
I know. So, yeah, I'm quite enjoying DDO. I don't think I want to hang that one up anytime soon, but then that's a very fairly recent one for me. I mean, that we were playing DDO instead of... What was I doing on Friday nights instead of DDO?
Having a life?
I can't remember. No, of course not. Don't be silly.
Trying to connect with somebody else on an emotional level?
No. No, it would have been another MMO, but... But, yeah... But yeah, I just haven't been playing DDR quite nearly as long as these other titles, and I think it's just natural to get tired of these things.
I think so.
I don't think MMOs are meant to be played for years and years and years, and I think if you design them so that they can only be played for years and years and years to get the most out of them, then you're either some kind of sadist or cynic, or you've just done it wrong, you know?
I think so.
And yeah, now I think about the lifetime DDO, well, of course, they're probably only anticipating people stick with it for however long.
The lifetime DDO, as Lojo, is...
Maybe I'm the weirdo, I'm the aberration.
The lifetime thing is to remove your barrier of re-entry.
Come back later for
You can come back in whenever you want. You see something new, you think, oh, I'll just dive in and take a look.
Yeah,
and you might get hooked again and stay. That's what that's about.
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, is it... Am I just sadly mistaken in expecting to play these things continuously for 2-3 more years, you know?
I think so, yeah.
Is that the sort of 7-month span that we see on new games and subscription lengths, is that a very justifiable average? Most people only play for that sort of length of time, then move on to something else.
Yeah, I think that
keep banging out the same experience over and over and over and over again, and eventually it's going to wear a bit thin.
And even single player games, you get 12-14 hours out of most of them, and move on.
Absolutely. You play something like I'll talk about what I'm playing on the console in a minute, but you play something on the console, you wouldn't expect to be going at that sort of 4 years later,
unless
2 years later,
you really like, say, Halo's multiplayer or something,
or Oblivion perhaps.
No,
I don't know. Maybe that's just me again being a bit weird. Yeah, but yeah, I think DDO does sort of alleviate many of the common problems I'm having with these other games, in that it does keep throwing new stuff at you, and it's different every week, and it's interesting, and the progression's at a reasonable pacey rate, and it's just keeping me interested because of the novelty of it and the texture.
Yeah,
of it varies enough. Whereas Guild Wars, I don't know, it's wearing rather thin for
That's because you've seen it all.
I've seen it all. I have all the outposts. I'm working on the Elite Skill Hunter title track as my big game motivation, which is basically...
Well, there's a grind for you.
Very much so, yeah, absolutely. It doesn't have a level grind. You get to the levels very quickly. You even working through the stories and campaigns doesn't take that long if you go at it. But there are massive, massive grinds in there if you really want to partake of them. The Skill Hunter titles, Survivor, all these legendary unlocks and all the rest of it.
Now, it should be clear Faction at this point. I think we should say that we are not against grinds in games.
I am.
No, you are not against grinds in games, because I know one of the games you're playing, which when we get to, has got one massive grind, which you, I guarantee, are completely addicted to.
Oh, you're talking about Crackdown, aren't you?
You're orb hunting.
I am, actually, yeah.
Which is a grind.
Yeah, all right, so yeah, consoles then. John, here I'm playing consoles, which has been more of a positive experience, which worries me, because it suggests that I'm catching your disease of superficiality.
I went through exactly what you're going through a while ago.
It annoys me that I mocked you at the time. Yes, so Crackdown, I completed it, finished it. Only had two bosses left to go on the Shaijin Island. Very quick, yeah. Like I said, you can get through the whole game in like one or two sittings if you're determined and fast.
One of the missions I can complete in 7 seconds.
the end was stupid. That was totally unknown. I mean, is it even... Do I even want to protect it from spoilerage? It was just...
No, don't worry about that. That was 2005 or something
it
came out.
Okay, well, right at the very end, your awesome voiceover guy who's been
who's
my
awesome.
Best. He is awesome.
And I want to marry him.
He's brilliant. I want to have his children.
He's back for Crackdown 2.
Awesome voiceover guy who's been with you, your constant companion throughout the whole game, encouraging you, telling you off for shooting civilians in the head, that kind of thing. He just turns around and does the whole, "Mwahaha, it was us all along, we're evil." The sort of ending, and that's the cool surprise twist. Just didn't add anything at all to the game. It didn't work. It just was stupid, you know.
Yeah.
Turns out the agency is a big sinister organization who's using these other criminal organizations to soften up the public and make a fascist police state seem an acceptable solution in the face of anarchy.
Now, you see, you only don't like it because that's what Labour have spent the last 8 years doing.
Well, it doesn't make any sense in context. You know, they're all running around in police uniforms. They shoot at you when you attack civilians. And then just to suddenly, in the last sort of 2 seconds, decide, oh, no, actually, we're evil all along. Bye, see you for Crackdown 2. Bye, you know. I mean, what is the plot for Crackdown 2? Are they just going to ignore that entirely, are they? I hope so, because it was rubbish. Game's very good.
The plot for Crackdown 2 is it's a couple of years later. The agency is in dire straits. The virus thing you let out has caused major problems.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that particular bit went by very quickly. Yeah, as did much of Crackdown, to be honest.
But
yeah,
Crackdown lives on the sandbox.
It's fantastic fun. It is a really good superhero game. Yeah,
it is the best superhero game I have ever played.
He's basically just a guy in a flak jacket with a rifle. But yeah, you collect all these orbs, you skill up your core abilities, and you gain superpowers. And there's just such an incredible flow to it all. I mean, I've mentioned it before. You bounce around the city. I mean, just the orb hunting. Yeah, it doesn't feel like a grind. I'm actively enjoying the business of leaping from rooftop to rooftop. Yeah. It's a game of skill. There's a fast pace to it all. You feel like you're in control. You feel powerful in ways that MMOs generally don't let you be.
Ways that MMOs can't let you be. You exactly. can't be the most powerful person in the world.
I know.
Which is a major, major storytelling issue.
Yeah. And it's usually all done with instances and this, that and the other, smoke and mirrors. But Crackdown, you genuinely are a badass.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun to play. So,
and the orbs are very addictive.
Yeah, as I say, I've completed it. I mean, the game makes a bit less sense when there's suddenly no one shooting at you anymore. But the jumping around sandbox of it is quite
fun. But at that stage, you've got all the little grinds to do.
Yeah, but how do you rank up your gun skill when there's no enemies anymore? You have to just start shooting at the police and see how far you get.
You turn the gangs back on.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
It's on the option when you start the game.
Oh, okay. I've completed the story, but turned them all on again for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. You know, you got the difficulty level and whatever. One of the options is to turn gangs on.
Oh, okay. So even though I've completed it, I can let them all back in again.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. And that then does become, sandbox for its own sake, I suppose.
And there's stunt jumps to do. Yeah, there's stuff to collect. Just lots and lots to do. And there's multiplayer.
I've got to try some co-op. It's just very good. And for a game of that age as well.
Yeah.
Sort of early launch title.
Oh, it was very early. It came out before Halo 3 because the Halo 3 beta was on it.
Right. Yeah, it's just very, very high quality and a lot of fun for its own sake. So I think I might keep pottering around with that, even though I've technically won.
I've got a couple of achievements left to do.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more achievements.
There's one race I'm stuck on I can't do. There's this one bit where you got some bollards you got to drive through. And I'm in this fully souped-up agency supercar, which turns into the Batmobile. And you've got to line it up perfectly and get it through. But whenever I try to line it up perfectly and try and get it through, there's a car in the way. Or I'm just slightly off at an angle. I can't quite do that race.
Can you not bring one of those ramp trucks and park it in front of it? Or does it clear everything?
I could probably do that, but after that, you've then got to deal with a sharp right and then a sharp left. And so I'm just going to bounce off the wall and slow down.
At that point,
so I just need to practice, I think.
Ah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Excellent. Gears 2.
Gears 2.
We did a bit of. I finally tried Horde mode.
Yes, you did. We stopped playing Lotro and went straight into Horde mode. Sorry, Ed.
God. That was really telling, wasn't it? I wonder if that right there was the breaking of the Fellowship. We got to this was immediately after that Fiery Grim destroyed our entire group in one hit in that skirmish, and we all just sat there and thought, what should we do now then?
Yeah,
and Matt
begged off because he'd been with his girlfriend the weekend, was tired.
Yeah,
and we thought, should we do some Gears?
Let's do some Gears almost. Yeah, so boom, all logged out, I fired up the Xbox.
Boom, so the energy comes. Next thing we know, it's 1 something in the morning, and I have to say, guys, you looked at the clock, and everyone desperately goes to bed to try and get enough sleep.
I know. So yeah, that says a lot right there. To be honest, it was much more entertaining than the previous skirmish in Lotro. So Horde mode. Then, for anyone who doesn't know, my first go. It was all very exciting to me. Basically, just a multiplayer map, up to five of you.
Yeah.
Bunch of guns lying around, and you just have to survive oncoming
waves. Wave after wave of enemies.
Yeah, it keeps sending timed waves. And is it timed, or do you get as long as you like?
You get as long as you like.
Okay.
So and it is one of the purest cooperative, hanging out with your mates, chatting.
Crappy Xbox headset comms, of course, but you get used to it, I suppose.
If you're a bunch of mates who... If somebody causes you to wipe, you don't care, which is fine. If that's true, then it is one of the most
fun... Must be a different thing in a pickup group.
Yeah, it's one of the most fun experiences you can do.
Yeah, how far did we get? Around 18 out of 50?
Out of that, on that run, we went from 1 through 18. But then we stopped because it got late.
Yeah, absolutely. We could have. Can you pick up from the one you died? Yeah, we can do whatever. You just keep redoing the one you failed.
As a group, we've done most of the basic ones.
Oh, you don't have to start at 1 again?
No.
Oh,
right. You don't have the extra maps.
I haven't got any DLC.
You might be worth getting the extra maps because that brings a lot more maps
into it. Oh, peer pressure. I'm have to actually buy DLC. My God.
It's one thing it's like.
Yeah, I'm noticing people who swipe the mortar early on seem to do very well in the high score table. Yeah, absolutely. I had a lot of success with the flamethrower, actually. I think none of you Nancys wanted to get that close.
Oh, it was you burning me then.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah.
That's a trouble.
I was trying to chainsaw people, because there's nothing better than chainsawing someone. And next thing, the guy you're chainsawing is on fire. And you think,
I'm helping. Yeah. Down in front. Yeah, it was very good, though. A lot of fun. I'd do more of that, yeah. Would play again. I have trouble with that game, because the locusts look a lot like the people.
No, they don't.
Okay. The same sort of bulky shapes and all grey and everything. And there's me sort of right at the back with a talk bow.
Anyway, I think we're going to start playing that more on Thursdays.
Yeah, I'll give that more of a go, I think.
Because you're free on Thursdays, aren't you?
I think so.
Andy's free on Thursdays.
Generally. I could be free on other nights of the week too, at this rate.
Yeah.
Hmm. Let's see. So, yep, Gears of 2. We haven't really got any further with the co-op.
No, we need to do that.
Insane on Gears 1,
have After
we?
You get in tonight. Yeah. Give you time to actually eat, and then we'll try and do that, maybe.
All right, fair enough.
Because you've missed DDO again.
Missed DDO, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Fable 2 has been my big gameplay this week, actually, in my spare time.
Done any multiplayer in that?
No, I didn't even know it had something to do with orbs.
Yeah, you can jump into the game.
No, I don't do multiplayer pickup on Xbox, thank you.
I can actually jump in with your game, because I actually have two copies, because one of my CDs is broken. And I got it replaced, but I never actually gave him the old one. And the problem is, it won't load this one bit of content in the plot, which I'm past. So,
And also, I've had games that have done that before. The one particular part, you try and get anything. I think it was a scratch disc of Burnout Revenge or something. There were particular races that would just crash it every time you tried to load it.
Yeah.
Very annoying. But yes, I'm liking that a lot. I did like the first one. I think I completed the first one on the Xbox One.
I gave you my copy.
I'm liking that. I tell you what, just sort of thinking of general combat there. I mean, earlier before we started today, I was watching you doing a bit of combat in Lotro. And then thinking back to previously, before I came here, I'd been playing some Fable 2. And the combat in there, so much more interesting. And it just sort of underlined yet another problem with MMOs.
The thing about the Fable 2 combat is it's a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
And there are three buttons. There's
three buttons,
use guns, use
stick.
Sword, or use magic.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you put them together to do little combos if you want. You don't have to. You can just hammer it on sword if you want. And the combat just works a hell of a lot better
from enemy
than
to
me
enemy.
Having five rows of 12 very toolbars.
Very well designed, yeah. Somehow, we're just using three coloured buttons and a directional stick, you're managing to block incoming attacks, counter-attack incoming attacks, charge up spells up to about six ranks of power, and also swap which spells are in use as you go. And also target enemies with the gun, zoom in on them, and manage to be able to headshot them or groin shot them or whatever. And you're doing that with an Xbox controller, and I start to wonder, why do we need a keyboard with like 102 buttons? Why do we need 50 hotkey buttons all on the screen at
the real
sides?
Reason I think that MMOs haven't taken off on consoles yet is, if you do it, then it shows up that MMOs just haven't innovated.
They've stood still. I always thought it was the interface was the big problem. Oh, no, you need all that keyboard, you need a mouse.
No, you don't.
You do not at all.
MMOs need them because they're stuck with that and they haven't moved on. We've still got what they had back in Meridian 59.
I challenge anyone listening who's got access to Fable 2 to play, or Fable 1, they do a very good job in there as well. Either of those two games, and then try and work out why that wouldn't work as an MMO.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, oh no, why does the character need like 50 incremental skills that you gain?
Why do I need six different heals which to be used in different situations?
When quite clearly the technology would be there to target the target, push the heal button and have it use the most appropriate heal, like you do in Dungeon Siege or Diablo or whatever.
You may say that makes it more boring, but
no, because the
using
action,
six heals is still boring.
The action and the adventure should be in what's going on the screen. How much of the time do you spend looking at the health bars versus what's going on the screen?
I pay very little attention,
and
which is why I'm always standing in the wrong location.
Anyone who plays a healer in a proper MMO is nodding and smiling at this point.
Yeah.
Because I've tried this in Guild Wars now and then. I try to heal. You are only looking at health bars and the party window and the cooldowns on the hotbar. I mean, even when I'm tanking, I'm basically just staring at the bottom row of little icons, looking at the little clocks.
Yeah.
I haven't got a clue what's going on the main don't screen care. And don't care. Because at that point, I've become some kind of bizarre optimizing machine. I'm basically processing input and directing commands. You know, it's all very soulless, and I start to worry about it. But then you play something like Fable 2, where you're just leaping between combatants, you're firing off the odd fireball, launched, you know, flintlock pistol to the head of a guy creeping up behind you. And you just wonder, why can't it all be like that?
Yeah.
Because that is interesting.
And I don't think it's a technological reason why it couldn't.
I mean, I'm not just raving about Fable. I mean, obviously, Lionhead and Molyneux do know their stuff. Yes, he gets mocked a lot, but there's a lot of genius there as well.
I wish people would stop mocking him, because
we should start then.
No, no. People mock him when he's one of the only people who will speak their mind. He will say stuff before it's released, and he's not following this very well-scripted party line. And because everyone mocks him about it, and says that it's wrong, it means that there's all this rubbish with people just saying boring stuff.
I know. It's not just, I'm not just gushing on Fable. I mean, you look at anything. Crackdown's a good example. You know, the facility of gunplay in there, and you compare that to something like Anarchy Online, where you stood 2 foot
Crackdown,
apart trading rifle blows.
The targeting subsystems on cars, and just standing there shooting out wheels on cars as they drive along the freeway.
Yeah, going for the fuel tanks.
Yeah, go for the fuel tanks. Works brilliantly. Why couldn't you have that in something?
It's
sort of like the Fallout 3 system, but without the pause.
Yeah, absolutely. That sort of VATS thing. I don't know. I mean, yeah, so anyway, playing lots of Fable 2. I get very distracted in Fable 2.
I think you're meant to,
yeah. There's so much else going on, apart from the main plot, which I'm getting a fair old way through.
How many times have you been married?
None yet. I'm trying to find the right woman so I can settle down.
I'll just grab a hooker.
Trying to maintain a high purity.
I found the fattest, ugliest hooker I could and married her.
Fair enough. No, I'm too busy saving the world for romantic interludes. As you should know from my Dragon Age experiences, my Baldur's Gate experiences. Basically, I miss every single one of these NPC romance relationships because I'm too busy saving the world, woman. For God's sake, there's a time and a place, and this is not it.
I've got multiple families because I wanted.
I think I have that problem in real life as well.
Okay.
I often scream that in nightclubs, yes.
This explains why your last
I'll be over here drinking.
This explains why your last girlfriend left the dead goat on your doorstep, isn't it?
I didn't want to talk about that, thank you. So yes, I'm enjoying Fable 2 an awful lot.
You're not hiding any from anyone about you pouring a Coke.
I'm just trying not to spill it, that's all. I'm on the looking. I think I've got to the bit with the pirate prince hero guy. I'm trying to convince him to join our merry band of adventure-y hero types.
Who's he voiced by?
That's Stephen Fry.
Oh yes, yeah.
That was a surprise. I think he's only Wanamaker, wasn't it? I think Ron Glass is he?
No, I think
he's
so. Yeah,
the Will User hero.
It's been a while since I played
Shepherd Book
so, yeah.
From Firefly. I'm pretty sure that's him. Just so much. Is it Julie Sawalia?
She's in it.
She's Hammer, is she?
I think it's Julia. It's either Julia or Nadia.
Nadia, whichever. Yeah,
I think it's Julia.
Just so many famous lovies in that game. It's brilliant. Yeah. It's like who's who of British voice acting.
The third one's even better.
Is it?
Yeah, it's got John Cleese as your butler.
Oh yeah, I think was it Eddie Izzard?
No,
was
no, it's
Brooker.
No, no. I think Brooker's in it.
Charlie
Ross is in it.
Yeah,
and it's also got Ben Kingsley in it.
I'm looking forward to that one, yeah.
I am, yeah. I'm definitely.
It's a very solid game. I mean, it's not flabby in the way that Oblivion can be, in that there's vast tracts of empty space with just randomly spawning monsters. It seems like the world's quite well crafted. It's not huge, and Fable 1 wasn't very huge either, but then it doesn't necessarily need to be.
It's not all without,
it's all used well.
It's not without its problems. I mean, the map's rubbish.
I've seen a few bugs in there as well.
And it's quite buggy.
Me, yeah.
But yeah, I love it. The world just works.
I'm enjoying it. I'm wondering if it's only just big enough to accommodate my gameplay, if you know what I mean. If I play it a bit too much, I'll end up hitting the edges.
But
it's a good fun diversion there's lots of other stuff you can go off and do.
And you're not meant to play the game constantly for 3 years. You're meant to play it, complete it, and move on.
I think something's gone wrong. Something very twisted has become the MMO branch.
I know.
It's taken me stopping smoking to see it, damn it.
The more I play games, the more I realise that we've missed the point with MMOs. We've definitely gone off track.
I don't know. I think there is much to be redeemed from MMOs. I enjoy the good times with friends. The ability for all of us to go to some virtual pub, six of us and go off and do an activity together.
Definitely
but
true.
You can do that on a console now.
But yeah, I think MMOs have lost focus on what is fun.
Raiding is an aberration, it must be. The idea that you're supposed to do the same thing every week for like four plus hours.
Hoping to get what you need.
Hoping to get this one thing on a lucky dice roll. I mean, you know, it shouldn't take you 4 hours to pull the arm on a fruit machine, you know?
No.
Which essentially seems to be what goes on at the very top end of certainly old school raiding.
Unless people want a fruit machine which takes 4 hours, we're definitely not criticising people for liking this. It's just...
I'm not sure who I'm criticising here anymore.
Possibly ourselves.
Large scale PvP? I don't know. I like Planet Side, but something about Eve puts me off a bit. I don't
responsibility.
Know. Responsibility. Yeah, chains of command, vast mega groups.
No, it's a responsibility. If I do PvP, I have this big problem with the corp reputation, and I can only attack certain
thousands
people.
Thousands of imaginary people are depending on me.
I can't just do
I'll drop in, blow
random
a few heads
roaming
up and
because
away.
I've got NRDS with all the locals. Yeah, it's just a problem. It's like if I joined with you and we
should
went off
this before the show, really.
Yeah, you should have. I pulled mine before the show.
Carry on.
Yeah, if you know the Wednesday night group, if I jump in on that and everyone goes off and does stuff, it's going to be quite difficult trying to figure out who's how to shoot who. Oh no, sorry, that's one of our allies.
I think with one of them's a member of what used to be the Goon Fleet, and then there's another people who's in some alliance at the north. I think it would just about worked out that they weren't all cost to each other, which was nice. But that's why we tend to operate in Empire only, really.
Yeah.
But yes, so I just ranted myself silly there, and we've been going for nearly an hour on what I've been playing. Do you want to talk for a bit?
Okay,
hopefully you're in a better mood than I am.
I've talked about some of those games. I'm actually quite positive about Lotro, despite the horrible grind. But that's because I'm still on this massive Tolkien kick, and I'm just enjoying the being in the world.
For you, it's purely an adjunct to the books and films.
I was listening to Casual Stroll to Mordor.
Mm.
And they were talking to the Tolkien professor guy, who's brilliant, and you should listen to his podcast series on the books. And one of the things that they reminded me of on that was the idea that you've got the books, right, which are the definitive world.
Yep.
Then you've got the films, which are sort of like an alternate universe of that world, and the game's an alternate universe.
Uh-huh.
And as long as you look at it that way, they're just retellings of the different worlds.
So in 10 years' time, we'll have a reboot franchise where the ring doesn't end up in Frodo's hands.
And you can sort of... You can enjoy them all being different and disagreeing in places.
Interpretations, yeah.
Because it doesn't matter, they're just different interpretations of it. And with that knowledge, and that's the way I've been looking at it for a while now, that makes it a lot more enjoyable going through. Oh yeah, this is Goblin Town. This is, of course, mentioned in The Hobbit. Go down there, look and see what's there.
Yeah, actually, you did ask a while back if there was any Hobbit-exclusive content in there, and I forgot about Goblin's
Cave. That is the only thing I can think of, which is Hobbit-exclusive, because that is not mentioned in the trilogy.
Yeah, there's a sub-instance off of a Goblin Town that is called Gollum's Cave.
Yes.
That's basically where Bilbo and Gollum have their little riddle game, I think.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Stupid riddle game.
Stupid Hobbitses.
Yeah. Stupid columns is. Yeah, so, anyway, that's I've actually been enjoying it. I'm crushing my way through book volume one, which is so depressing.
Yeah, it makes you travel all the way up to the end, but there's a strange sense of satisfaction when you finally put it to bed.
I'm only doing it for the horse at this point.
The horse is cool, yeah.
I don't think I'm near to burning out on that game, but if the Monday night group went away, I would not play it half nearly as much as
but
I do now.
Because you've got your lifetime, you can just play whenever you like.
Yeah, and
I've
more than got my hours out of the lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm glad I've got the lifetime, because this is something I'm going to keep wanting
to. I probably would, yeah, obviously, if I had a time machine, I'd go back and so get the lifetime right on day one, because I'd have had my money's worth, but I still don't think I'm going to get my money's worth out of one bought now. No.
And Eve, I changed skills.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Go on then, what was your skill?
I've been going through all of the Tech 2 gun skills.
Oh, it's quite hard work getting Tech 2 large weapons going, because there's so many tertiary requirement chains.
Well,
involved.
No, I've got all those.
You got all that.
Just going through, just getting the, you know, I'm never going to use Tech 2 large blasters.
That's
probably.
Any situation where you'd need Tech 2 is so dicey that you probably don't want to spend that much on.
Well, I don't mind for the small stuff, but yeah.
I like using
lasers, never going to use those.
I like the efficiency and the economy of effort involved in fitting a Tech One only ship and doing really good stuff.
And it's cheap. Mm. Yeah, so I'm skill collecting for the sake of it.
Mm.
I should unsubscribe.
Yeah, but you may need your skills in the future. Is that the rationale?
Yeah, I think it is.
I think I'm different. I always do unsub when I give up.
If I unsub, then I won't be learning any new skills. And
which
I won't
you're not going to use when you come back anyway.
I've actually been using skill points. I know everything I need to do.
You've learned everything you could possibly apply in your normal day-to-day gameplay.
I know.
You haven't got capital. You don't do capital operations. No, I don't
want to jump into the PvP world. I don't want to join Red versus Blue or Faction Warfare because I realise that, no, that's not what I'm after.
It's all right.
But, yeah, so...
It's okay not to be into Eve.
It is. That's a hard thing for people to admit. But, yes, I admit it. I'm probably not into Eve anymore. That's it for MMOs. There's console games.
Yes, talk about consoles.
Yes, there was the Gears thing. We had the Horde mode and we brought this newbie in.
Yeah.
Who didn't do that bad, actually?
I was very annoyed when I turned up and was wearing the same cowboy hat as James there.
Yeah.
I have to find a different character to be. I'm going to be Dom from now on. Let it hereby be known that I'm going to have the beard.
There we go. You can be Dom.
I'll be Dom.
Yes, because you are whiny.
I am whiny, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't need arm protection because I'm awesome.
Yeah, he's got better beard in the third game. It was good. You were doing okay. You were holding your own.
I wasn't on the bottom.
Yeah, no, but don't worry about being on the bottom. Me and James were going a bit nuts with the old chainsawing, I think, which gets you a lot of scores.
I thought the point was to survive, not be getting the highest kills.
There was a point in every wave where people click and think, right, get the chainsaw out and go out and fight your way through. Or at least I do. And sometimes I may have done that too early in the wave. I do love Horde mode.
It seems enduring.
One of those rare points where a gameplay mode just ticks every box you want. And other games have tried to do a similar thing, but haven't quite managed to do it because I think I prefer the weight behind the combat. It feels solid and, you slam into walls.
Something I do notice about Gears in general, it's a very heavy game.
Yeah.
You don't run very fast. You're quite bulky. You can take quite a lot of frontal damage.
You compare it to Halo 3, say, where the multiplayer in that is people bouncing around all over the shot.
One hit
headshots or two hit headshots, whatever. And it just feels, it's a lot friendlier as a multiplayer game, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't demand quite so much from the reactions, I suppose.
I love that. Mm. What else? I've been playing Halo Reach.
Okay.
Yes.
This is your big beta, is it?
Yeah.
Are you under an NDA?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, right, as if you could NDA Halo.
It's like about 3 million people in there. There's no way they'd enforce anything like that. Anyway.
No, they don't want to. An NDA only exists to hold back information, which is free publicity you're throwing away.
It's closed beta stuff, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and...
Mm. This is open, sort of?
Yeah, it's open. Mm. As long as you've got either one of the codes from one of the sites or own ODST.
So kind of a free preview then, really.
Yeah, it's a free... but also... They capture all the metrics and they're using it to balance the multiplayer. Very, very good.
Excellent.
It's incredibly fun. I'm not the world's greatest Halo fan when it comes to the multiplayer, but I will play the odd game and enjoy it, and I was not being completely devastatedly killed as much as I thought I would be. The new armor things work really well. You've got a jetpack. They've implemented a jetpack in a way which works. It's a slow burn thing, so you've got a short amount of time where you can use it. So you can use it to get from A to B. You can't really just use it to hang at the top of the level sniping.
Yeah.
So if you've got one of the more vertical...
So more of an enhanced jump than actual flight.
Sort of, but you have got horizontal flight as well for a bit. So there's some very vertical maps. Well, one very vertical map in the beta, which works really well with it. There's a lovely armor lock move, which you do that fist down on the ground move, and you get this force field infinite, can't take any damage jobby.
Yeah, interesting. And you just wait it out.
It lasts for a certain amount of time. When you let it go, there's this EMP burst around you.
Yeah.
And it can be very, very effective or very, very deadly as the people realise that you're doing it, counting down, waiting, knowing when you're about to come out, and then lobbing the grenades that they're going to hit just after the EMP pulse is gone.
So mixing it up then, it's not all just running around with shotguns.
No, it's not, and it's great fun, and it Excellent. Works really well. And I'm very looking forward to the full release when it comes.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, I played the Iron Man game. The game for Iron Man.
Iron Man 1?
Yeah, Iron Man 1.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a notoriously bad game. Now, by bad game, I mean it is an awful game.
Yeah, I think we talked about it last, what we're playing a bit.
Yeah.
It didn't look very good.
Yeah, but I've been playing that a bit more because I'm still trying to figure out. It's just itch in the back of my mind.
Another of your theses.
For playing bad games because I want to know why they're bad and try and figure out how to make them good again.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a really bad game. So yeah, I've been getting loads of achievements in that, but I can't say I've been enjoying it 100%, but I'm compulsively playing and I don't know why.
Fair enough.
What else do I play? I don't actually play that many games. Yeah. I've been doing...
Sounds like you've been having a healthier life than me.
Yeah, I've been watching TV and reading books.
Books. Whoa.
Yeah, you ask me what book I've
been... What book have you been reading?
I've been reading the Gears of War tie-in novels.
Okay, how are those working out for you?
Well,
Pulitzer stuff.
This came about because the news that Gears of War 3 is being written by the plot by the woman who did the Gears of War tie-in novels.
Okay,
and I thought I will give the first one of those a go.
Inspector Cannon.
I will see how bad it is.
Fair enough.
I should also point out that during the week the first chapter of the God of War novel was released, and it is utter bilge. It is some of the worst writing I've ever seen.
Fantastic.
And that was what I was expecting from the Gears of War 1, but there was just this thing in the back of my mind thinking, they're slabs of meat going through this game with guns. I'm vaguely aware there is a plot there.
It's not great characterisation going on.
The characterisation, no. Admittedly, the second one did have a moment which really does work emotionally, which is when they find his wife.
Mm. Well, I don't know. It just seemed suddenly jarring and out of context, considering what had gone on before and immediately afterwards.
Yeah, but...
You think, well, oh, okay, that was a sudden surreal aside.
But the game was not really known for its plot.
No.
Although, having read the books, I'm now on the second book, I realise there's a lot more plot than you think.
Mm.
And the world they're painting, I would love to play a game set in that world.
Are there collectibles in 2, but not 1?
There's the
like journals and things lying around, or is it just cog tags? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, you find in 2 little bits of information, don't you?
Yeah. Which I think may elaborate somewhat on what's going on. I never really quite understood what was going on at all in either of those games, though. Why are we on this planet when, for starters, it rains knives on a regular basis?
Yep.
There's things in the dark that can strip metal and kill people unless a torch is pointing at you. The entire subsurface of the planet is honeycombed with, like, monsters, and also this, like, glowing liquid stuff that's good in
emulsion.
Paint. I don't know. What's with the paint? Yeah. Is that a naturally occurring resource?
Yeah, that's a naturally occurring resource which is used for power.
Right, okay.
And basically what happened was...
Just why are they even on this planet in the first place? It just seems like a really bad place to live.
Apart from the razor hail,
do they have spaceships at all?
You
they
think
grow
so.
Up there?
Well, it's hard to say. They're called humans, and they're referred to as humans in the book.
I don't really understand.
But it's definitely not Earth, and it's a 26-hour day,
right?
Which I think is there to differentiate it. So I assume they came from Earth sometime in the past, but don't remember.
Oh, the old galactic breakdown thing.
And
see, this is the stuff your precious, well-written book should be telling you.
It does.
Okay,
right. Sort of. the locust emerged from the grounds towards the end of a big war between all the humans.
Ah, right.
Which had been going for a while, and everywhere was pretty much devastated by a big attack at the end of the war using the Hammer of Dawn to level all lots and lots of... That was because of the Locust. I'm confused now.
You don't know either. Why are they even on this planet? It's a stupid place to live.
No, they got the Hammer of Dawn, which sort of ended the war 2 years later.
Which is your big satellite weapon.
Yeah, which they stole off one of the other sites.
Okay.
And then the Locust emerged for some reason. We don't know why they came out of the ground, but they've been underground all this time without being seen, probably asleep or something.
Yeah.
And they decide they need to be on the surface and kill all the humans.
Right.
And so there's a big war against
that. It's not always
the
that
The humans
bad.
Destroy all the cities, apart from Jacinto, because that's on a big granite slab.
Because
they are losing so badly, they've realized.
Just decide to nuke the entire mantle of the Earth or
sort of
planet,
whatever. Yeah, that's always the option you use.
Absolutely.
And
it's all going belly up. Break out the nukes.
And then in the first game, at the end of that Do you know how, oh, I can't tell you how it ends. We tried.
No, I don't want to know.
Okay.
All right.
We'll play that later.
All right, we'll have this conversation again later.
The first game is trying to destroy, using the tunnels underground, the enemy.
Okay.
And we've got the map of the tunnels now, and we are trying to fight our way down a train to get to the bomb.
Just point me in the direction, give me the gun,
And the second game is basically about the results of that and dealing with the mop-up. And the third game is about the mop-up from the mop-up in the second game.
So I already, having played the second game but not the first game, I already know that what we're about to do is going to go spectacularly wrong and require a sequel.
Yeah.
Okay. That fills me with confidence.
Not spectacularly wrong. Not work as well as it could have.
Right. Anyway.
Although it does kill all the krill.
Oh, that's a relief, because that's just stupid.
I don't like the krill.
You go outdoors in the dark when there's no lights and you just get shredded.
Yeah.
How can life exist on a world like that?
And why are there so many gas tanks lying around with no one shot yet?
That's pitch black, isn't it?
Yeah. it is actually, yes.
And I didn't see any big civilizations and courtyards and lovely little Italian team terraces on that planet, that's for sure.
No.
I'm drifting somewhat.
You are drifting quite a lot at this point. Yeah, so that's whatever the game I was talking about. Oh, that was the book. Yeah, the book. I actually think it's not written as badly as it could be.
And actually, quite good.
I actually enjoyed it.
Oh, that means it's quite good.
Yeah,
that you're a Philistine. Either way, it works.
The writing wasn't horrendously bad.
Mm.
In fact, it felt quite good in places.
We're gonna have to do a crappy game tie-in book special one week.
I think
there's
so.
A lot of them about these days, and they're often quite bad.
You can do the Dragon Age book.
Gonna need a lot of prep, though. Yeah, we're gonna have to actually read these things.
Yeah. the first Eve book was awful. I actually enjoyed the book, and it's actually has filled in a lot of the gaps with the emotional feeling for the characters and their backstory and personalities, and I think that it's going to make, with her writing the third game, I think it's going to be vitally important to making it a better game.
Good strong plot to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, and the last game I played.
Yep.
Oh god, there's a last game. Yes, is Alan Wake.
Alan Wake.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a name that I should probably have remembered and think is quite important. This was the other one. There was Heavy Rain, and then there was this one, wasn't it? The two big story things.
Alan Wake is basically, the first words said on the voiceover in the game are Stephen King. And right. it's sort of like this brilliant Stephen King character who, just like you hope Stephen King has had writer's block for 2 years and so can't write.
Ah, right.
I'm not a big Stephen King fan. they go on holiday to this Stephen King-esque village, town place, in America.
Spotting the theme.
Yeah, to try and be able to write again. There's a doctor there, blah, 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 blah. And you get there, you have a nightmare, which is the first level, which is a bit weird and supernatural. And then you get to your place where you're staying, you black out. And when you wake up, you're in a crashed car, it's a week later, and your wife has disappeared.
And hilarity ensues.
And hilarity does not ensue.
Right.
It's definitely a horror type game.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting combat mechanic.
How does it play? Is it sort of point and click adventure-y thing?
Third person shooter, really.
Okay.
You're wandering around, you've got a torch and a gun,
mm-hmm.
and everything's encased in darkness. You can't shoot somebody without shining the torch on them first to burn off the darkness.
Is this literal darkness, or is this just a sort of device?
It's a black swirly darkness.
Okay. Some sort of malevolent force.
Something like that, yeah. Okay. And you need to bring the light to them first. Now, the interesting thing that it does is by having to point a gun at the light on them before, two shots will kill the first guys, you're fine.
Yeah.
But you've got three or four seconds of light pointing at them first.
Mm.
Now, all that's really done is gone from needing, say, four bullets to kill them to needing a bit of time with the light and then the bullets, but it's the fixed amount of time needed with the light when you've got multiple people coming at you, which really works in a anticipation way.
That sort of introduces the idea of suspense to actual firefights.
Yeah.
That's remarkable, actually.
And
what is it? Is it something I need to shoot? I don't know. You just have to look and stare with the torch.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know, yeah.
It telegraphs when people are coming up behind you, which is something that most games don't. They'll just let you come up behind you and kill you. But if somebody coming up behind you, the camera pulls back to show it, which works in a much better way because you've suddenly got this fear or anticipation. There are people behind me. I've got to deal with the people in front of me before they get up to me.
That sounds quite hectic, quite fraught.
It's not really hectic. It's fraught, though.
Yeah.
It's
so it's not waves and waves of this stuff, but you do have in to some keep, places, keep on your toes.
I've only actually played the first episode so far because I'm refusing to play it in daylight. It's going to be played at night, preferably about 2 a.m. It works. The light taking time really changes the dynamic of fights. So if you've got four people walking towards you, you know, right, 4 seconds for him, 4 seconds for him, 4 seconds for him, oh, they're going to be here by then.
Yeah.
And you've got to try, and that really does give you a sense of negative anticipation.
Negative anticipation?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I won't go as far as and say fear, but it's...
But this is something of a... I'm sure we've tackled this long ago, the idea of suspense and fear and horror in games, and MMOs, I suppose, but does this seem to actually start to strike something of a panic in you as you're playing?
Yeah, it does.
It works as a device.
I don't know how much more from playing through the game it's going to... I'm going to get accustomed to it.
Yeah, desensitised to the whole...
But for the first episode, at least, it was quite... interesting, shall I say. It did get me on a couple of occasions.
I suppose the challenge there is to design some kind of gameplay mechanic that will keep it being terrified, keep you in suspense, even though you're playing on your eighth or ninth go through and you're used to what's going on. So do you think this unshrouding the darkness with the torch mechanic would work in that capacity? Is it always going to be
No, because it's always a person. There's no real is it or is it not a bad guy. It's always is a bad guy.
Perhaps that could be utilized better to throw a few decoys in as well. Swells of darkness that aren't people.
It may well do later. When you're in
freaking out at shadows, that kind of thing.
When you're in a fight, it does get a lot darker. Another interesting thing about it is you're finding pages from a manuscript you don't remember writing, which is describing what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll find a manuscript on the ground, you'll read the page, and it'll be explaining what's going to happen 10 minutes' time in the game. And for some reason, that makes it worse.
Oh, brilliant.
Because, this is going to go badly there. There's going to be a fight. Okay, right. And then you've got the anticipation that it's going to happen, which... you wouldn't expect it, but it does make it worse.
That does sound interesting. It does sound, something slightly more than your average for third-person shooter for the console sort of thing.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
And the best thing about it is the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yes. The first episode was Lime and the Coconut Song, whoever did that. it's got Roy Orbison and it's got Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just the first episode's range of music.
Excellent.
So it gets lots of good marks off that.
So, recommend it so far?
So far, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Play it at night in the dark.
We'll come back to this, I think, in a future, what we're playing, because I think we need to have the Alan Wake versus Heavy Rain discussion, I'm sure.
Yes.
Are they even in the same ballpark, would you say?
No. They're only in the same ballpark in the... they're trying to be something more than games.
Okay, well, we'll definitely come back to this. Anyway.
But yeah, in the next what we're playing, I'll have completed it. Apparently, it's a very short game, so we'll see.
Right. Excellent.
Yeah, that's all the games I've played.
So, shall we do the Twitter question?
Oh, I guess we have.
I actually asked a question about gaming this week. I'll try not to do that again, sorry.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? What was your question?
I've been going off on one with a Twitter question quite a lot lately. Perhaps indicative of my unease, perhaps.
Yes.
Who knows? But anyway, this time I asked basically what your preferred gaming platform was.
Yes.
Because we're always talking about PS3s versus 360s and is PC gaming alive or dead. And it just suddenly occurred to me, I have no idea what any of our listeners actually use.
I think I know.
Well, some of them, yeah. I play games with some of them actively. But
My way of telling is the number of friends I've got on each platform. PS3, hardly anyone's added me.
So there you go, survey.
Xbox, quite a few people have.
Yeah, I've got
Steam,
quite a lot of friends on Xbox.
Loads
apparently.
Of people have.
Steam,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah, I'm
trying to dig out what
I'm
my Steam
login on all three of those if you want to add me. He's Van Hemlock with a space on Xbox, and you don't have a PS3.
Well, I'll make some details available.
It's available on our site if you look on the right hand side.
Yeah.
Okay, so the questions. Yeah. Well, the answer's more like Tepetastic. A PC. Better spec helps against the console, though I tend to use an Xbox gamepad for most games. Halo always gets me on the 360.
Yeah, I'll have to try a console controller on a PC, see if it helps. I don't know. I think it's the hardware for me. It's always the keeping up to date.
Well,
so PCs can be better than consoles, but they can also be worse.
Yeah, and you've got to keep upgrading.
Depending how much you're willing to spend on a fairly regular basis, yeah.
Tip of the knife. I think she's actually responded to one of these before.
Yeah, I think so.
Sega Saturn.
Oh, yeah.
Panzer Dragon Sega, Radiant Silver Gun, and Magic Knight Rhea.
Wow, Sega Saturn.
Oh, classic console.
I'm not entirely sure what I know other than those. I've heard the name, but I was never really a Sega person, to be honest.
Never really caught.
Sort of around the Mega Drive?
Yeah, it was that era when we didn't really have consoles that much around in the UK. Some people did, but it was more still the Amiga and the PC and stuff.
Good old school titles there.
Yeah. Rick Cho says, for action game / things that need a gamepad, the 360. Also because of its ease of use. Just pop in a DVD. A PC for MMOs there.
Well, for now, yeah.
Yeah, for now.
Before we go off on one again, Final Fantasy thingy for the PC and and console MMO.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah, we
got told off before.
How can I keep
Fantasy Star online? Fantasy Star.
I own both those games. Yeah. On 360. I always ignore
them. There are MMOs for both, but not very many. But PCs. That's it. I basically only use my PC for MMOs myself nowadays.
That's all I use that PC for, is MMOs.
Yeah.
It doesn't get turned on for anything else.
It's just Lotro and Eve.
Which is why I got in this really shouty hissy fit on Friday. When
it seemed to chug along a bit.
I turned on the PC, jumped straight into Lotro, and then it decided there was a critical update and forced my PC to reboot. Because I'd forgotten to change the setting when I got this particular PC.
The only time you'd used it was previous week for Lotro.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, I do. And just general usability. I think the console's starting to win me over a lot. I do like my couch.
Yeah.
And I'm getting used to the controller as well and the thumbstick, which was always the real put me off to begin with.
XBevisX. Any platform that lets me rend apart thousands of enemy grunts in record time with my mighty axe / shotgun.
So he's not choosy as long as he gets to massacre minions.
Nope. Excellent. Although he's also pretty handy with a chainsaw and a machine gun. Jeff Ross says, has to be my PC. I can play an MMO, check Facebook while watching Doctor Who all at the same time. Same screen, beat that PS3.
I'd love to see iPlayer on the 360. That's another reason I use the PC iPlayer.
Well,
Doctor Who, yes.
It's on the PS3 and the Wii, and I have to say I use it on the Wii more than the PS3.
I'm not a Facebookian, but I imagine that would be useful. No, you can do Facebooking on...
You can Facebook on the Xbox, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't... If there's this multitasking thing, which...
I think the next generation of consoles needs Windows Alt Tab style ability.
Maybe.
I don't know how you'd do that, or even if you'd want to, or why. But
I'm not sure you'd want to.
I don't know. I don't generally Alt Tab around a lot on the PC either. I'm either playing a game in full screen or I'm not. But
yeah,
if you're going to add something like Twitter to the 360, who's going to sit there with? It's like I said when they launched it.
Well,
who's going to sit there and just watch Twitter on the 360?
I think what you're doing there is looking at it from a different usage model.
I'm sure I am. Yeah.
Because you probably do what I do, which is to keep an eye on it all the time, and it's a constant conversation going in the background.
Well, yeah, when I'm near a PC.
Yeah. But there's also this other model, which is. Yeah, you just use it for X amount of time and catch up.
It's supposed to be micro-blogging, isn't it? You'll put one thing on a day and that's that.
Well, maybe. I don't know if it's meant to be. Yeah. But I think this is two different usage modules, and the Xbox version works for that, but I would like to see it do the way that I use it, which is just push a button, bump, you get the list of all of the recent things.
I'd like
things.
To see Twitter added to the dashboard and have it as a constant background thing rather than you can only do Twitter.
Then
or
again,
something else.
My phone does it perfectly well, so why does it need to be on the Xbox?
Good point.
Okay, Jackson92,
yep.
PC all the way. It's what I grew up on, from Railroad Tycoon 2 to StarCraft to the games of today. Flexibility and longevity.
Well, I mean, yes, I'll grant the flexibility, certainly, but the longevity, is that the same PC you were playing Railroad Tycoon 2 on now? Or have you essentially replaced every internal component of it?
Yeah. Now the floppy disks have gone, yeah. It's all components if you upgrade it yourself. Because I remember, up until I got rid of the floppy disk drive, I had the same floppy disk drive I'd had since the early 90s.
That's where the one soul component lives. Yeah. Yeah, and now that's gone. Is it even the same PC anymore?
Even the power supplies get switched off nowadays.
But yeah, you've got to change those because the motherboard takes different sockets.
Or your graphics card needs a better one.
So I don't know about longevity, because essentially you've probably had many PCs at an average rate of about one every 2-3 years, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Seems to be the case. But yeah, I grew up on PCs, but you can change. I'm starting to.
I missed the whole PlayStation 2 thing because I was a dedicated PC gamer at the time.
Your cast-off Xbox One was my first ever console.
That was my first ever console.
Yeah. Now I've got a 360 of my own.
Then I nicked my brother's Dreamcast and I've decided the Dreamcast is the best console ever. Melmothulu says, I'm waiting for Nintendo's forthcoming undead platform, the Zombwii.
Zombwii. I see what he did
there. I see what he did there. Armature Genius. Interesting point. PC. Because if I put a console on, I fret about not watching TV on my, TV.
Yeah, now this is where I'm probably different and strange, because I rarely watch just television.
Yeah, same here. I don't really see...
You've got one.
I don't watch live TV.
Pay a TV licence.
I very, very rarely watch live TV at all. I record stuff on my DVR, or I watch iPlayer.
Yeah.
It's all an on-demand thing for me, so I don't
TV
get that.
TV is mostly there if I have guests around. We'll all sit around and watch telly. It's a communal thing, but... it's just because they're not gamers.
One of the only live bits of TV I watch is I watched the Grand Prix earlier. Because, you know, I want to watch that live, and the teams will spoil it on Twitter because I follow all the teams now. It was terrible. It was the Monaco Grand Prix and stuff was going on, and I was getting information off Twitter, seeing it, and then they would mention it on the show that they'd seen it on Twitter. So, yeah.
So you're getting better information than the TV shows.
Yeah.
I'm in this weird position in that I use my PC to watch television through iPlayer or 4 on demand or whatever the equivalent service for whatever I'm watching is, and then I'll use my television to play the Xbox 360. So I've got it completely arse backwards.
What's the other thing? My 360, because of Sky, because I've got a Sky subscription, I watch films on it and stuff. So
it's weird.
Yeah, I don't watch that on live TV. Okay, Zozo says, Babbage's analytical engine is the only platform for a gentleman.
Well, it's quite right, of course.
He is, of course, quite right.
They cause a lot of smoke in the apartments. It's quite tricky. I have to get the domestic to keep the ceilings clean.
Phoenix D-Fire, got to be the Amiga.
Yay!
It was so much fun to program. Now, I wasn't an Amiga fan. I had a PC when all my friends had an Amiga.
I'm doing the Amiga dance.
You had an Amiga, and I remember being horrified once when you bought memory for it.
I know. You could buy upgrade memory for it. It had a big trapdoor in the bottom that you unhinged, and you put this whole circuit board in there. It was about the size of a standard envelope that slotted in the bottom on this ridiculously large clunky connector, and that boosted it by... It gave it 512 meg extra RAM, I think, or something stupid like that. I don't know, but yeah, the Amiga was a gaming platform as far as I was concerned. It had a proper keyboard and it had an operating system and everything.
It was a gaming platform.
As he says, you could program for it, but I never did. So.
CM Gangrel says, depends on the game, to be honest. Final Fantasy VII was poor on the PC, but ace on the PS1.
Uh-huh.
I'd agree with that. I play it on my PSP. In general, the PC, though, lack of TV stops console.
Ah, so if you don't actually have a television and don't want a TV license...
That's going away because a lot of monitors now have HDMI cables on the back, which you'll take from your console. And also I've got a VGA adapter for my 360.
See, that is interesting, though, because without that, you are basically screwed. You will need a British television license just to operate your console if you don't use this HDMI. But I suppose, And previous generations didn't have HDMI, so
you
ended up with a television that you had to try and convince people that you weren't using to watch actual television.
Yeah.
Which is always a hard sell.
But now you can just go into a monitor, and so consoles on your desk are a lot more suitable.
Yeah, so you can sit in an office chair at a desk playing a console game.
I do sometimes.
Like you do with... Yeah.
Because say when I'm
it's
watching...
always sofa gaming.
Say when I'm watching... I want to watch TV and play a console game at the same time. I can't do that downstairs.
Yeah. But the one turn.
Yeah, but say there's a rather boring race on, a Formula One race, which some of them are. I will sit here, I will have the race on the TV to my right, I'll have the Mac on in the middle with Twitter on, and on the left, which is the monitor usually for my PC, I will put the Xbox's output into it and play it on that.
It does rather look like a CCTV control centre up here at the moment.
It does rather. Okay, Geddens
says,
I miss my ZX Spectrum 48K. All the lines going across the screen for hours just for it to crash. Good old days.
I think you should play this show out with Manic Miner or just any old Spectrum cassette you can find. Play the audio. That'd be brilliant.
I've got a lot for the Spectrum.
Find us a Spectrum title to play the show out with.
I came from the Spectrum and I will die with the Spectrum.
I loved my Spectrum, but it didn't outlast me, no.
Spectrums are the best gaming platform ever made.
Until that crappy ribbon connector that connects the top after the bottom half snaps because it goes brittle with age.
Yeah, you have to open it up, slice it off, redo it, and you'd work your way up the ribbon cable.
You only get away with doing that about 3 or 4 times, and then that's that.
Curit Kodachi says, preferred gaming platform is definitely PC. The games I like need keyboard input for chat or complex commands.
Big Eve fan there. Would Eve work on a console in any shape or form, do you think?
Dust.
Dust isn't Eve, though, is it?
It is Eve.
Not the space bit.
No, the space bit, I'm not sure. Then again, Eve is one of those UIs which they really have got you don't have the massive bank of hundreds of commands you've got.
But it often attracts criticism, even by Eve fans, for having a crappy UI, so maybe it's not the best way. Yeah. I don't know.
Asgar says, don't have a preferred. Different platforms are better for different games, although I do play on the PC much more than the PS3.
Yeah, often you can be at the mercy of a crappy port, in which case it helps to have the better platform available as well.
Also, he plays an awful lot of MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
Because how many of your...
Well, there's only Guild Wars and DDO that I know of.
Yeah, well, just think, how many of your weekly game sessions is he in?
He's playing Eve as well.
Yes, that's three of them.
Three. What's my other one? What's the other thing I play?
Lecho. He's not in Lecho, isn't he?
Okay, right. It's just three out of four. Yeah. Help, I'm being stalked.
Max Castillo.
I do kind of ask for it, though.
He's a really nice guy as well. I know. You don't have to accuse him of stalking you.
I totally retract that. He's a fine fellow. Shall we move on?
Max Castillo says...
Toe rag, on the other hand.
Oh, he's definitely... He's a bit weird. He's a dentist. Because with my new Alienware and Steam, I can all of a sudden play anything, anywhere. Also, PC was my first platform.
Right. So, yeah, the Steam.
I forgot to mention Mac Steam. Oh, well. I won't moan about that.
Mac Steam, yes.
Yeah, Mac Steam launched. Yay!
Yeah, excellent. Steam, I suppose, and all forms of centrally held cloud, whatever you call it, these days.
Yes, Steam actually has cloud saves now.
Yeah.
It crashed saving Portal on the Mac for me.
Oh, dear.
And also, you can't see the portals on my graphics card. It makes playing Portal quite hard.
Also, the PC first platform, I think, change is difficult. You know? I mean, it's whatever you're used to, and you get familiarity with. Why do you want to suddenly swap just for the hell of it?
Well, it takes liking a different section of games, different type of games. If you had been left to your own devices and not been foisted on loaded games for you to play...
Force-fed an Xbox One and a bunch of games.
You would never have decided, I would like to play this type of game.
I'd still be some sort of PC snob and elitist sneering at the Mickey Mouse console gamers.
So, what you're basically saying is that all PC gamers just need educating.
I think rehabilitation, that's the term. And
by what you mean, I mean what I just said.
Let's not skew the result of the question. Okay. Keep reading them out. Got quite a lot of responses this time.
Lady says, Xbox can kick back, relax and play on 52-inch TV. PS3 controller gives hand cramps. Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Wii too dangerous. Been known to whack kids.
Right, so we're basically, we like the Xbox there then.
Yeah.
So hand cramps on the PS3 controller.
I know, it's too small, it's too small
and fiddly. Is it designed for munchkins?
Also, it does this noise.
Yeah, it sounds like
that's not normal. Xbox One. Actually, it makes noise too.
Right.
New Wii controller. That noise.
Yeah. So the noise is important.
Mm-hmm. They all creak. I want better controllers. Tilky, the good old PC. Tiger Ears, better than life, where it's not the platform that's dying but you.
Red Dwarf reference there. See, I got it.
Yeah.
I'm hip, I'm with it.
Ackley says, with money, a PC has more potential for good sound, graphics, and is a lot more versatile. And I do not game to save money.
Well, good point. If you're going to spend on the PC, you might as well go all the way and get the decent gear.
Well,
the PCs are now at this point in time pulling ahead of the current console generation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now's the time to be on the PC, really.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm, in terms of just sheer technical power and output and all the rest of it.
Yeah. NT, PC for the controls, better graphics and voice comm. Huge library of games, including MMOs and overall flexibility.
I must admit, the 360 voice chat is continuing. Every time I'm aghast anew,
I know.
When I log in as to how bad that is. It's like being on a really crappy phone call.
When
to
we
somewhere
went from
in,
Mumble and Lotro onto the Xbox 360 one, it sounded like we just laid the first transatlantic cable.
Yeah. Hello, this is London calling. Can you hear me? It was awful. Yeah, it's like it's just a really bad phone line. And I suppose they do it for bandwidth reasons. It must be quite efficient, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't hold up to PC solutions.
Syntax says, my preferred gaming platform is a large table on which to play tabletop RPGs on with friends. That and the PS3.
And if it was a non-slim version of the PS3, you could tabletop game on top of the PS3.
No, it's sloped.
It's curved, is it? Curved. To stop you doing
it's
that.
Curved in a really annoying way.
It's
if
curved
you want
to stop you serving dinner on it, all that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah,
it's no. A hot plate.
like a trouser press.
Oni911B says, PC, it runs even, has the best controllers ever made. Mouse and keyboard beats Natal.
Does it? Well, we remain to wish
PC's getting Natal as well, you know.
Could be right.
He was going to recognise when you gesture.
Oh, God, Natal free. Hand signs at the screen. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Any rumour of Natal coming to you is just made up by me on the spot. Dr. Torag says, PC for me, mainly because I only play MMOs and therefore am hamstrung for choice.
Right, yeah. I mean, if there's nothing on the console you play or want to play, then that's fine, yeah. Obviously, you go for the platform that's got the things you want.
Kutsnik 2000 says, PC, not just gaming and games are cheaper. Since I have Bootcamp Mac, I am excited about Steam for macOS.
Mm, two interesting points there. Well, let's talk about the cheaper games on the PC. Why is that? Why did Microsoft charge like £50 for a game when you can buy it for half that on a PC?
Because they've got better control.
Is it just cartel, basically?
They haven't let the prices drop to that point.
Ah, I see. Whereas the PC is a bit less regulated.
Yeah, and the prices will get heavily discounted down, I think.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
And also they start out cheaper because they got cheaper over time. And the big problem with that is that's less money going to the publishers.
Going
whatnot.
Back into redevelopment, new stuff. Yeah.
So I think in the long term, by supporting the cheaper, better for the consumer thing, you might actually be not supporting the consumer.
Mm.
I think.
We did have a breakdown, didn't we? A couple of weeks back.
Did I just justify to myself giving loads of money to publishers for no reason?
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, okay.
And also Steam for the Mac there. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, Steam for the Mac. Brilliant. There's Mac Gaming on one day last week became from nothing to something quite impressive.
Yeah. So what the launch titles is basically
Portal, Torchlight, a bunch of indie games, Braids on there. In fact, if I push that, we can see that I've got...
oh, crikey. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
I downloaded the...
LucasArts Classics.
Yeah, the LucasArts Classics one. Fantastic. Any game which runs under DOSBox or whatever
will
run under this, no problem, because it's running under emulation anyway.
Ah, so all your old abandonware-ish classics.
Yeah, there's no reason why they can't all launch on this.
And presumably they'll start bulking that up with more modern titles as they go.
Yeah, you've already got stuff like everything Blizzard do is Mac.
Yeah.
All of the Valve games are going to be Mac.
Eve, I think.
Eve's got a Mac client, yeah. So Champions, LEGO Universe is going to have
a
Mac
client. So
it's
basically down to individual developers to have made a Mac version available, but now there's the Steam platform on the Mac to be able to connect it all up and distribute it.
And more importantly, one of the things that Steam does, which people tend to gloss over, is it's an information gathering tool. Mm. So it returns an awful lot of information about how many gamers there are and what hardware they got and whatnot.
Which will better inform future development.
And it enables you to go to a publisher and say, the market for Steam is this much.
Uh-huh.
Excellent. Which is an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah.
Already says ZX81, of course.
Hey,
was hardcore. This a quick trick question? No, it's not a trick question.
ZX81, wow. What's the difference between the ZX81 and a Spectrum?
One was a lot more basic.
Right.
It was earlier more basic and tended to be in wooden cases. And you needed to use a milk bottle to keep the power supply cool.
Right.
Actually, the wooden cases thing was only if you got the one that you had to build from kit and you had a proper case.
back when home computing meant something.
Samuel Scrobo says, my game is only on the PC, but I also love me some Wii Play. So my son loves DS. I even steal it once in a while for Scribblenauts.
Scribblenauts.
Mm, Scribble, that's a good game. I like that. PB89552. Must be PC. Where else could I get my MMO drug of choice? Lotro.
Yeah.
Well...
No, there's never going to be a 360 Lotro. Just stop. I can see what you're about to say.
Alice Thorne says, my best is a Sinclair Spectrum Plus 2.
Plus 2.
It has a tape recorder built in. Ooh. Amazing software, e.g. the original Dizzy. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Get Mr. Posh there. Yeah. The built-in tape deck. I know this it mic and rec leads for you.
You had a rubber key, didn't you?
I think I had a Plus 2 as well.
Did you? Oh, yeah, you had a Plus 2. I had a 48K Plus.
I had a Plus 2 for a number of years until my dad decided to fix it with a soldering iron. I think he had somewhat rudimentary notions of integrated circuitry at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a Spectrum 48 Plus, which was not the rubber keyed one, but the one that had the fixed hard keyboard, which was a lot nicer.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah. Hitchy says, a PS3 for the gaming on the couch feature, PC for the ease of voice chat.
Yeah.
Being on a fence is awesome. I'd say...
Being on a fence, they all have their merits.
Yeah. Apart from the abysmal quality...
Chat. What? Sorry. PS3 voice chat, what's that like?
It's okay. It's not mumbles quality, but it's better than the Xbox.
Better than the 360.
The problem is the PS3, and this is a massive problem, which I think Sony have to fix, because it's really wrong that they don't, is it doesn't come with a headset.
You'd expect one out of the box.
Although, actually, really? I just noticed my PS3 headset is about to fall down that gap between the desks. Could you pick it up, please?
What have I done?
Nothing. It just... On. There you go.
That's it? Oh, it's like a little Bluetooth earpiece.
It uses Bluetooth headsets.
Oh, I see, right.
Yeah.
That's rather swish. Look like a sales executive driving to a meeting.
Yeah, or turn into
a Cyberman. Yeah,
turn into a Cyberman.
probably both.
Black-hearted one?
Yeah.
PC, of course. Could be because it's the only platform I own.
Well, yeah. If you've only got the one, that's going to be the favourite.
It is really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nothing
wrong with that.
Cosimo. With a one. PC, please. Love the precision on mouse and WASD. Plus QWERTY for fast typing, not only for games.
I don't know. I mean, the thumbstick can be very precise, but you've really got to get used to how much precision you can get.
I actually prefer the thumbstick over the mouse, because every time I play a first-person shooter on the PC, everyone is so much better than me. So it becomes a levelling feature, which stops the instant
mouse
headshots.
Mouse sensitivities and the rest of it, yeah.
They're just people who can get a headshot no matter what you're doing, and I don't like that.
It depends a lot on the UI as well. I mean, you wouldn't want to play... Well, just using Lotro as an example, the bottom of my screen there has got hundreds of very small icons on there. You do need a mouse to be able to accurately pick. Although you could have a highlight that moves along with a thumbstick, I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mega Super Mungo says, the 360, cheaper than a PC, I don't need to install games to play them, and none of the others have Forza. Which is very true.
Well, yeah, again, if you're after a particular title that's been locked into some sort of exclusivity deal, you're pretty much stuffed, really. You have to go where that title is. But, yeah, I mean, the convenience and
the best racing games are on consoles first.
Fair enough. The cheapness and convenience of a console, not to be overlooked. Plug it in, two cables, was it? We were mocking that American Scout badge thing.
Yeah.
Install a gaming system.
Yeah.
Two cables, go, done.
Three, network cable.
Oh, yeah. But cheaper than a PC, but it depends on your length of console cycle duration.
It does, yes.
If you want to keep updating it to the next thing,
yeah.
How much would you spend on a PC in an equivalent time, that sort of thing.
Eve Riotrick says, since I mostly play Eve, I have to say the PC.
Fair enough.
Also, I still like to play Mario Party with friends on my ancient GameCube.
GameCube.
Yeah, I never had one of those. But
is that the big purple sort of...
That's the one that had the bongo game.
Right, I remember.
Yeah. Afraid of the light, only ever owned PCs, so the PC, have now acquired a BBC Micro, Chucky Egg, Granny's Garden and Millipede, greatest games ever. No, you missed Elite. You cannot list BBC Micro games. I have several BBCs there.
That was the original platform for Elite, wasn't it?
Yeah. I have more than a couple of BBCs in my loft, and I love them.
Yeah, it's a curious object. Is there actually one on the console of the new TARDIS?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't. I'll have to check.
There's definitely some kind of sort of 8-bit generation 80s home computer bolted onto one console of it. An iconic machine, absolutely. I sort of my very earliest experiences of computers was that and the Spectrum. Yeah.
Yeah. Ian Dean says SNES. It's been downhill from there. Whimsical Mimi says CODs.
Oh gosh. Very highbrow there. Yeah. Yes. We're moving away from the computer, your tawdry electronic entertainments. So yeah. We're talking customizable card games.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't talk about those.
you're about that far away from it, all of your poker walker nonsense.
I know. I feel myself being sucked back into it. I've got boxes for the cards everywhere. Uh-huh. Zona 21. I'm a PC gamer. I prefer mouse keyboard controls and enjoy PC versions of games more. They tend to have more depth.
Yeah. Well, it depends. I mean, you get some very deep stuff on the console these days, so I think.
Well, it depends what you mean by depth. If you look at the more strategy type stuff, yeah. But
we're talking sheer volume of content, perhaps.
I think just the stuff you have to think about is what he means. Because, definitely you get a lot more of that on the PC.
A fair statement, yeah.
No trist. PC control scheme. Multitasking.
Multitasking,
depth of titles are more exclusive than consoles, honest.
Yeah, so more variety with the PC.
Yeah, there's definitely more games on the PC per month.
Pretty much everything comes out on the PC as well, doesn't it?
Not really. Sort of. On the 360, a lot of the stuff does, but not everything.
I suppose because
the
architecture.
The PS3, they tend to not want to put it on the PC as well.
Right. Fair enough.
And Sunk Zero, my tabletop and friends. Social, infinitely extensible game world and encounters only fettered by imaginations.
Yeah.
And Random Gamer X, PC, even though I have all the consoles, I spend 95% of my gaming on the PC. No MMOs on the consoles.
Oh, he's going to get told off now.
What's that?
Final Fantasy 11.
Oh, yeah, you missed them.
What, 11 thingy, Fantasy
Final
Star.
Final Fantasy and Fantasy Star Online.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't see your point, though, yeah.
We're going to keep mentioning it until we don't get told off again.
I know. It's like a every positive time we do reinforcement
and,
feedback thing.
And it's not the same person.
There's no MMOs on the console.
It's always someone new who tells us off. Every time.
It's this blind spot trying to get rid of. Yeah. But I think the important thing there, I suppose, is to be happy with the platform you've got. As long as you... I mean, they've all got their merits. As like the 360 with its ease of use and console, etc. You've got the PS3 with the slightly technically superior engines involved built into it there. You've got the PC with your broad variety of MMOs available, the multitasking I do like. Yeah.
All I'm going to say is I own all the platforms all the platforms.
You do, apart from your Wii.
I use my Wii.
You do?
I'm playing Monster Hunter on it.
Oh, fair enough.
I forgot to mention Monster Hunter.
Oh, well. That'll be something for another what we're playing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So we're massively overrunning at the moment. So
we are,
quickly,
aren't we?
What did you learn this week?
I learnt that you grumpy talk even longer than when you're happy.
And I learned that a distressing amount of my previous personality and psychiatric makeup was externally applied through artificial means.
Oh, well, so...
And with that, see you next time.
Before we say that, I just want to say, head over to iTunes, leave us a comment, because I haven't asked for that in a while, and we're dropping down the list.
Yeah, more iTunes pimping.
Head over to vanhemlock.com.
One of you
mentioned 360s and haven't added us as friends, so all bad people. And
I'm not sure that gets you anything. I'll accept anyone, maybe.
Yeah, might even play with you. Might not ignore you.
Might not ignore you.
It's unlikely.
You can see what we're up to,
yeah.
Anyway.
Basically.
Stuff.
So we'll see you next week when we'll have thought of what topic we're going to talk about.
We'll have a thought of a topic. Hurrah!
Not that we haven't got one now. not that we're running dangerously low on empty on the old topic bucket.
Yes. So with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.